Good morning.
Good morning.
As you can probably tell, we're going to be talking about grace this morning. Question 40, part D this morning. What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? Answer being, the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are the assurance of God's love, peace of conscience. Last week we spoke of joy in the Holy Spirit. Today, increase of grace. And next week, and perseverance therein and to the end. Grace. Let's pray and ask God's help before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you, dear Lord, that you woke us up this morning, Lord, that you showed us grace again this day to walk this journey that you've called us to, dear Lord. We pray, Father, that you'd help us enter in this morning even deeper into this grace, this great love that you have for us, Lord, this tender care and this love you have for your children. Bless us this morning, Lord, above all with your presence. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for us. In Christ's name we do pray and ask. Amen. Increase of grace. If you would this morning, turn to the first book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 16 and 17 here. Speaking of Christ here, it says, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The law and grace right here being spoke of. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 5. I'd like you to see something here. Speaking of the law and grace. Romans chapter 5, look at verses 20 and 21. It says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Sinners covered. I remember Brother Gary preached last Sunday night about that hard chapter to preach through, the fall of David. But the scripture speaks of, in Romans, Paul talks about this, of blessed is the man to whom God does not impute iniquity. For what David did, he should have died. But Jesus Christ said, "Put that on me. Give him my righteousness. Put his sin on me. I'll bear his sin for him." Grace was shown. Turn over a chapter to Romans chapter 3. We'll see here righteousness by grace. Look at verse 20. It says here that therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice here in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace. This grace, it's hard to wrap your mind around, because we're so wired to have to do something to get something. Yeah. grace bestowed upon us. The scripture teaches us that God justifies the ungodly. He doesn't justify the godly, but the ungodly. Paul, speaking to Timothy, I'll just read it to you in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Speaking of Christ, he said, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would turn there. Paul speaking to the Corinthian believers here about an increasing grace given to us. Verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." For us to grow in our Christian lives, for us to come to maturity, for us to do these good works that he has called us to do, there's grace. Grace has been given to us here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, I'll read it to you. It says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." He's given each one of us tasks to do. Each one of us, he's given us abilities in the church to serve and to love one another. All these are gifts. They're grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you turn back a book. Paul speaks of this grace given to him. In verse 10, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet notice here, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." Paul's flesh and his determination did not send him forth into all these missionary journeys. It was Christ's will and it was Christ's grace that carried him through. Grace. In Merriam-Webster's dictionary, I looked it up. You've all heard it called unmerited or undeserved divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. A virtue coming from God. A state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. James chapter 4, if you turn there. My brother just started preaching through this, and I'm in his text again. James chapter 4. As Brother Jimmy said, if James was an American, he would be from Missouri. Show me. I'd like to show you something this morning in the book of James. Look at chapter 4, and let's read the first 8 verses. And James talks about sin in the believer right here. It says, "From whence comes wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even from your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Notice there for a second. How can an unbeliever have the spirit of the living God dwelling in them lusting? He He's talking to believers here. Notice verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Christians are prone to wander. We are all prone to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, grace, as we sang earlier, will bring us home.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 2, if you turn there. Paul speaking to this young preacher again. Second Timothy chapter 2. Verses 12 and 13. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He made a decision from eternity past to save you and call you into a holy calling. When you falter, he won't deny himself. You belong to him. He'll bring you back. You may wander, but the shepherd will leave the 99, and he will come after the one. Verse 19 in the same chapter, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He's going to come for you if you wander off. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Sin's a real thing. It lures us. It pulls us away constantly. But never forget the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's not going to leave you there. If you fall, come back. Repent. Be made right with God again. Romans chapter 5. Turn back there. Actually, I'm sorry, let's go to 2 Peter. I've already read that. 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter gives a warning here in verse 17 about rejecting this grace. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Growing in grace. I've heard that said for many, many, many years. How do you grow in grace? By leaning on the Savior. By looking unto him as your righteousness. As I said earlier, we're wired to do things to merit our own salvation. So many times in previous churches that I've been in, church attendance, bus ministries, the more you show up, the more godly you are. That's not true. The more godly you are is the more you lean upon Christ. That's the holiness which God required, the righteousness which is of God, and that is faith in what the Savior did on our behalf. Isaiah chapter 30, I'll read it to you, verse 18, and it says, "Therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him." You know, also in Isaiah says, those who wait upon the Lord, they will fly with wings like eagles. They'll walk and not grow weary. They'll run. I'm sorry, run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. Brothers and sisters, our focus must be upon this grace all the time. We do not stand by our own merits. By grace we have been saved, and as we sang earlier, an amazing grace, and this grace will also lead us home. Justification, adoption, sanctification, all grace. Well, let's finish this morning in Hebrews chapter 4, if you turn there. Verses 14 through 16. And this has been, for me, one of the most comforting texts, because I give an honest assessment of myself. I fail often. And when I do fail, it's my natural tendency not to come to God because I'm ashamed of what I've done. And not to come to this place to where I could receive mercy and grace. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." He went through what I went through. He was tempted in all counts, yet he did not sin. "But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He conquered what I could not conquer." Not just to show me that he's better than me, but to do it on my behalf. The just for the unjust. And not to hold it against me, but you'll notice here in verse 16, "For this reason, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. He taketh my burden away. Amen. Let's dismiss. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this grace that we have in you, Lord. And, oh God, we do not take it lightly, Lord. We do not take it as an opportunity to sin more and more, dear Lord. I hate my sin, dear God. I wish I would be done with it, but I know one day it will be done when we're with you in heaven. Father, help us enter into this, Lord. Help us to be on the forefront of our minds all the time, Lord, because we are prone to wander. Let us remember this grace wherein where we stand. We give you all the praise for it and all the glory. In Jesus' name we do ask it. Amen.